Today, we've got about 5.5 weeks before Trumpets. That's when I'm scheduled to speak again, is on afternoon of Trumpets. And at that time, I hope I will be giving an appropriate sermon for Trumpets. But today, I want to give a sermon that's pre-Trumpets, because there's a whole lot of things that are going to happen before that seventh trump sounds. And so that's what I'm going to be addressing today. The title of the sermon is Biblical Black Swans. Biblical Black Swans. Now, the black swan theory, or theory of black swan events, is a metaphor that describes an event that comes as a surprise, has a major effect, and is often inappropriately rationalized after the fact with the benefit of hindsight. Oh, we should have seen that. The black swan theory refers only to unexpected events of large magnitude and consequence. Now, in the 16th century London, the presumption was that all swans must be white, because all historical records of swans reported that they had white feathers. In that context, a black swan was impossible, or at least non-existent. However, after a Dutch explorer discovered black swans in Western Australia in 1697, the term metamorphed to connote that a perceived impossibility might later be disproven. Now, the sinking of the Titanic, the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the stock market crash of 1929, and of course, everyone remembers September 11, 2001, terrorist attack. They're all considered modern black swan events. What I'm about to tell you now is very important. It's a very important point. A black swan event depends on the observer. I'll repeat that. A black swan event depends on the observer. For example, what may be a black swan surprise for a turkey is not a black swan surprise to the butcher. Okay. The Bible is filled with black swan events. Keep in mind that some people are surprised by a black swan event and others are not. For example, on the first Passover, the Israelites were not surprised by the death angel passing through Egypt. But it took the Egyptians by surprise. They really didn't believe it was going to happen. However, having every firstborn die in one night, see, seemed an impossibility to them. Just about as impossible as finding a black swan in 16th century England. So for the Egyptians, it was a black swan event, not for the Israelites. So let's examine two black swan events that are recorded in the Old Testament. We'll start there. I picked the story of Noah and the flood as my first choice. So let's begin reading in Genesis 6, and we'll read verses 5 through 8. And I'm going to move a little quickly through some of these, since a lot of you are familiar with these verses anyway. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, skipping down to verse 11 and 12, here we see why God was going to send the flood. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. May have some more to say about that a little bit later, about what that really might imply. Continuing in Genesis 7, verses 11 through 23, we read about this black swan event. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort, they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the water. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the water, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. All in whose nostril was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those that were with him in the ark remained alive. You see, Noah, like the butcher, did not experience a black swan event. He knew what was coming. However, like the turkey, the wicked people did experience a black swan event. They didn't think there was going to be a flood. Now let's consider another biblical black swan event, the destruction of Sodom. Turn over to Genesis 19, and we'll read verses 1 through 14. Genesis 19, 1 through 14. You're very familiar with this story as well. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do with them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. The men inside are getting pretty tired of this at this time. The men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. You see, these people were so perverted that even after being struck blind, they still were trying to get in. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." Notice this. But his sons-in-law, to him, them, he seemed as being joking. He's just joking. "Oh, you're just joking. It can't happen. Sodom can't be destroyed." Yes, the sons-in-law thought he was joking. "What? Sodom's to be destroyed by God? You've got to be kidding." They didn't believe Sodom was going to be destroyed. They looked around, saw no indication that the city was about to be destroyed. But as we know, God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and destroyed it. For those in the city, it was a black swan event. However, for Lot, it was not. He knew the city was going to be destroyed. One interesting thing of reading the book on, as in the days of Noah, where ancient rabbis speculate, for whatever reason, that one of the reasons the flood came was the rampant homosexuality that was on earth at that time. And that man had corrupted themselves. And of course, Sodom and Gomorrah, we know, is the exact same situation. It almost is like a canary in the mine. You look around and see what's happening today in our society. Now let's turn to the New Testament and see what it has to say about these two Old Testament black swan events. In Luke 17, beginning in verse 22, we see Jesus speaking to his disciples. We're going to read Luke 17, verses 22 through 30. Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them, for as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Now notice this. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man." A black swan event. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Some people, some of the rabbis have speculated that might even be same-sex marriage. "Until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot." So here is another black swan event. "They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Notice this carefully. "Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Yes, black swan event. Here Jesus is speaking about two black swan events in the Old Testament, events that we've just reviewed. And stating that when the Son of Man is revealed, it will also be like a black swan event. Now let's read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 9. And we will see that this theme continues. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And notice this. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And then look what he turns to. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. What kind of ungodliness were they doing? And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by, notice this, the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. For the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Over and over again we see that the wicked are caught in black swan surprises, while the godly are alerted and delivered. Now let's read Luke 21, verses 29 through 36. Luke 21, verses 29 through 36. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they're already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, what things? What are we talking about? These black swan events? The characteristic of these things? When you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life. And notice this, and that day come on you unexpectedly. In other words, as a black swan event. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Yes, Jesus said that we are to watch and pray so we can be like the butcher and not like the turkey. You see, we can avoid being caught off guard by a black swan event. But in order to avoid being caught off guard, we must avoid being caught up in the cares of this life and thus not see the danger signals all around us. Let me repeat that. We can avoid being caught off guard by a black swan event, but in order to avoid being caught off guard, we must avoid being caught up in the cares of this life and thus not see the danger signs all around us. Today I want to review some of those danger signs so that we will not be caught off guard. The world will scoff at us, just as people must have scoffed at Noah for building a large boat in the middle of a field, probably miles from a body of water. Let's read how we can be wise and avoid being caught off guard. of the most incredible black swan events to occur in all of history. They're yet to happen. Turn over to Matthew 25, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 10. I know that a lot of these verses are very familiar to you. Hopefully you see them in a little bit different context today. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, we'll have more to say about that delay, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut, just like the door on the ark. Boom. Yes, the second coming of Jesus Christ will be the most incredible black swan event for this world. Just as the people in England in the 16th century didn't believe that black swans existed, so most of this world does not believe in the literal second coming of Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom on this earth. You want to see the proof? Turn over to 2 Peter and we'll read chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. Beginning with verse 1, "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first," notice this, "that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Notice this, "for this they willfully forget." What do they willfully forget? Black swan events of the past. "That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." Yes, they willfully ignore past black swan events. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Brethren, we know that the precise date and details for the end of this age cannot be predicted. However, we do know that this world is in store for many dramatic black swan events, culminating in the most fantastic black swan event in all of history, the return of Jesus Christ. Virtually every aspect of life, we are rapidly approaching earth-shaking black swan events. For instance, the world's financial systems are teetering. I probably spend at least 30 minutes to an hour every day studying the world's financial systems. They're teetering. And some black swan event will sooner or later occur that sends the entire system crashing down. President Reagan appointed Dr. Paul Craig Roberts as Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy. He's the one that coined the term Reaganomics. Dr. Roberts has also held various other notable positions, including associate editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Roberts was recently interviewed by King World News, and here is part of what he had to say in that interview. Quote, "Investors around the world need to be prepared for a frightening black swan that will shock the financial world. The whole global financial situation is headed to hell in a handbasket. The Fed can print money all day to keep the price of bonds high, but they can't print foreign currencies to buy dollars. So that's the real black swan that's waiting to happen." Continuing to quote, "When does the dollar plummet? When can the Fed not get enough loans of foreign currencies to buy back the dollars? When that happens, then it's all over. They lose control. The interest rates skyrocket, bonds collapse, stocks collapse, real estate collapse in real terms, and the deficit becomes huge. I mean, really huge. So the whole situation is headed to hell in a handbasket." End of quote. That's quite a quote, isn't it? For somebody who's that high up in our government, knows what he's talking about financially. In the Los Angeles Times, December 29th, 2011, in an article entitled "The Dangerous Complexity of Our Financial System," it quoted Mother Jones blogger Kevin Drum. Drum makes the point that finance has become so complicated that no one, not even the smartest banker, can actually understand it anymore. Here's what Drum had to say. Quote, "I don't think anybody can be said to genuinely understand global finance anymore. We understand certain large-scale features, and we understand certain minuscule details. But the middle ground, where most of the day-to-day action is, it's mostly a mystery. Financially speaking, we are all willing slaves of a capricious and uncaring master," end of quote. Kind of shocking. "The various systems of this world are growing larger and more complex. In fact, they've grown so large, in fact, that the human beings no longer have adequate system understanding. If you don't believe me, look at Obamacare website rollout. In an article entitled "The Complexity Trap," by Sebastian Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, published in a website called defenddemocracy.org, it states the following, quote, "As Secretary of Defense Robert Gates memorably described, the pre-9/11 challenges to American national security were amateur night compared to the world today. As a former State Department Director of Policy Planning, Anne Marie Slaughter recently stated, there is a, quote, universal awareness that we are living through a time of rapid and universal change," end of quote, "one in which the assumptions of the 20th century make little sense. In contrast to the closed system of the 20th century that could be controlled by mankind, we now live in an open system defined by its supremely complex and protean nature. Unparalleled complexity, it seems, is the hallmark of our strategic age," end of quote. Protean means assuming different forms or shapes, extremely variable, changeable in shape or form. In mythology, Proteus was a sea god who had the ability to assume different forms. So the protean nature of the systems we currently live with create enormous complexity and create the risk of highly destructive black swan events. I checked again this week. The doomsday clock is now at 5 minutes to midnight. Now, the doomsday clock is an internationally recognized design that conveys how close we are to destroying our civilization with dangerous technologies of our own making. It brings into question whether societies can develop and apply powerful technologies for our welfare without also bringing about our own destruction through misapplication, madness, or accident. One blogger joked that the doomsday clock will probably strike midnight right after he wins the lottery. Sounds about right. But jokes aside, a black swan event could set in motion incredible destruction, whether by natural, chemical, biological, or nuclear warfare. You know, a potential solar or nuclear electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, hangs over our nation like a sword of Damocles. The recurring intervals of crippling solar geomagnetic storms are less than a century. They occur about every century or less. We're overdue. The EMP Coalition warns that we are in extreme peril associated with EMP by either space weather or a hostile power. If you want to learn more, you can visit their website at www.stopemp.org. www.stopemp.org. In a news article entitled, "What Are You Going to Do When a Massive EMP Blast Fries the U.S. Electrical Grid?" it has this to say, quoting from the article, "So what will happen if we are hit by a massive EMP blast? Well, according to a government commission that investigated this issue, approximately two-thirds of the U.S. population could potentially die from starvation, disease, and societal chaos within 1 year. It would be a disaster unlike anything that we have ever seen before in U.S. history." I'm still quoting. "The first 24 to 48 hours after such an occurrence will lead to confusion among the general population as traditional news acquisition sources like television, radio, and cell phone networks will be non-functional. Within a matter of days, once people realize the power might not be coming back on and grocery shelves start emptying, the entire system will begin to develop into chaos. Within 30 days, there will be a mass die-off. It will begin with food supplies dwindling, looters and gangs turning violent and extreme." See any of that lately on TV? "Medicine that can't be restocked, even water pump stations failing." End of quote. One popular book about the result of an EMP attack is One Second After. Some of you have read that. I've read it. Which, of course, is a fictional account of what would happen if we experience a nuclear EMP attack. You know, I was with Bent Nesbitt when we visited with Louis Gohmert, and he came to our locale, and that was the question I asked him: "What's the government doing about EMP?" And he said, "Nothing, basically nothing." Imagine all the grocery stores are closed because their shelves are empty. There'd be no electricity, so all the gas pumps would not run. Of course, that doesn't matter because car ignition systems would not work either, since they would be fried. All computers, TVs, radios, cell phones, they'd all be fried. Is that centering of your life, all of that stuff? Could be gone in 1 second. 1 second. Sadly, virtually nothing is being done either to harden the power grid or prepare our military for an EMP attack. The Center for Security Policy, in their publication entitled Guilty Knowledge, and I bought this, by the way, it's on the Amazon. Guilty Knowledge, quote, what the U.S. government knows about the vulnerability of the electric grid but refuses to fix, says the following. The protracted unavailability of the power required for all of our critical infrastructures poses a truly existential threat to our country and its people, end of quote. In publication NC 2012-01, the National Intelligence Council, on page Roman numeral XI, under the heading Potential Black Swans That Would Cause the Greatest Disruption Impact, it lists 8 different black swan threats. One is an EMP event, either from solar geomagnetic storm or from a nuclear bomb exploded high above our atmosphere. Certainly a terrorist EMP attack would be a major black swan event. But 2 other threats mentioned are a collapse or sudden retreat of U.S. power leading to global anarchy, and the second one, severe pandemic. And we are currently witnessing the U.S. make such a retreat in power and influence. Regarding this retreat of U.S. power, I refer you to the article entitled Why the Massive Decline in America's Prestige in the January-February 2014 issue of the Good News Magazine. On page 20, it states the following, quote, but just like the Israel of old, America has jumped the tracks of sanity, has rejected our Creator's directives on how to live, and is beginning to really reap the tragic consequences of leaving him out of its life, end of quote. Regarding a pandemic, the publication says that a severe pandemic could kill or incapacitate literally millions of people in every corner of the world in less than 6 months. I'm sure we're all aware of the present Ebola outbreak. The World Health Organization has recently labeled Ebola outbreak as a, quote, rare global emergency, end of quote, and stated, quote, staff at the outbreak site see evidence that the numbers of reported cases and deaths vastly underestimate the magnitude of the outbreak, end of quote. So with the U.S. retreating from the world, ISIS or ISIL or the caliphate, whatever you want to call it, has recently come onto the world stage and, believe it or not, has been called a black swan event. Veteran journalist and author James Howard Kunstler, K-U-N-S-T-L-E-R, stated the following in an interview on USAWatchdog.com on July 9th, 2014. Quote, this ISIS, Islamic State group, is a true black swan. It came out of nowhere about 3 or 4 weeks ago and dismantled the 8-year and several trillion-dollar project of nation-building and 4,500 American lives lost that the U.S. has been carrying on. Continuing to quote, we really don't know where they are going next. We don't know where this thing is going. This thing is literally a loose artillery shell on the deck of the ship of history, end of quote. In addition to war in the Middle East, We see the collapse of our border, drug running, violent crime, sexual perversion, domestic terrorism. They're growing like a cancer, eating away at the heart of our very civilization. One has to wonder what violent black swan event may be just around the corner that will throw our nation into chaos, with the result being civilian massacres and possible martial law. You may think that's crazy talk. Consider that just last year, nearly $500 million on military gear was just given to local law enforcement, including 400 armored vehicles, 500 aircraft, and 93,763 new machine guns. Fox News reported that over 40 federal agencies, including nearly a dozen typically not associated with law enforcement, such as the EPA, have armed divisions now. The Daily Caller reported on August 14th that violent protests in Ferguson, Missouri, prompted Georgia Representative John Lewis to call on President Obama to declare martial law. You know, we're getting closer every day to martial law becoming a reality. I don't know when it's going to occur. But typically, the imposition of martial law accompanies curfews, the suspension of civil law, the suspension of civil rights, suspension of habeas corpus, and the application or extension of military law or military justice to civilians. Scary. Yet, with all this going on, many are blind to the times that we live in. Those who believe that we're living in the last days are often scoffed at, and I could have read you several articles where that is occurring. People laughed at. But you see, there's a name for this. It's called the normalcy bias. The Jews had it in the 1930s as Hitler began to rise up. The normalcy bias has entrapped many of us in America. The assumption made in the case of the normalcy bias is that since a specific disaster has never occurred, then it will never occur. But of course, that is exactly the mindset for experiencing a black swan event. Despite the naysayers, we are facing unprecedented times. Destructive black swan events of major proportion may be just around the corner. The Daily Mail published an article November the 2nd, 2013, with the title, Antibiotics Useless in 12 Years. Here is what the first part of that article said, quote, "Antibiotics could become useless in as little as 12 years, a leading medical expert has warned. Common diseases now treatable by the drugs would then become killers," according to this professor. He said, "Gross overprescribing by doctors threatened to make infectious bacteria resistant to all forms of antibiotics." Public health officials and organizations around the world remain on high alert because of increasing concerns about the prospect of an influenza pandemic, which many experts believe to be inevitable. You know, the world saw a disastrous influenza pandemic black swan event in 1918, as a result probably from what happened in World War I. Think about this. It infected 500 million people. 500 million people across the world, including remote Pacific islands and even the Arctic. And it killed between 50 and 100 million people. Let that sink in. That was 3 to 5% of the entire world population at that time. making it one of the deadliest natural disasters in all of human history. Now, for some of our young people here, that may seem like a long time ago, 1918. But let me tell you something. My mother, who is still very much alive, lived through that. It's all in her lifetime. Of course, along with World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the war in Iraq and Kuwait, and on it goes. What is going to be in your lifetime, young people? What are you going to be facing? Are you going to be sheltered your whole life? I doubt it. With the world population far greater now than in 1918, how many would die if a pandemic black swan event occurred and took the same percentage? You see, the world is approaching a black swan event regarding the availability of fresh drinking water, hygiene, and agriculture. You know, both Brazil and California are presently suffering tremendous drought where so much food is grown. What catastrophic black swan event awaits the world regarding our food supply? Now, I've got a couple of articles here that I just printed out yesterday. Here's one, Central America braces for drought-linked food crisis. And here's another one, Nicaraguans told to eat iguanas as drought threatens food crisis. And it has a picture of a young boy holding up an iguana for sale for meat. This is just down in Central America right now. While you will never hear about it in the mainstream news, and while we can all walk into supermarkets and buy as much food as we want right now, the truth is that a massive global food shortage is currently coming. It's already on its way. I mean, here's the articles. You know, Brazil is having to ration water in its major city. In fact, many scientists are now convinced that a horrific world famine is absolutely inevitable. World population is exploding at the same time that overfarming, overfishing, and environmental degradation are all starting to catch up with us. Yes, I know about some of the prophecies of the past and how they, you know, they didn't come true. I went back and read all the old articles as part of this. I've been working on this since October, by the way. So, you know, I have done a little bit of research. United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization estimates that nearly 870 million people, 870 million people of the 7.1 billion in the earth, or one out of every eight persons, is currently suffering from chronic undernutrition. Chronic undernutrition. Presently, every year, 1.5 million people die from hunger. And a black swan event such as massive crop failure due to drought could trigger a worldwide famine. Another aspect that you might not have thought about. What about a geological black swan? What geological black swan event might await us? Will it be an earthquake on the San Andreas Fault, which is overdue? Or maybe on the New Madrid Fault in Missouri, which they say could totally destroy both Memphis and St. Louis. Memphis would be a giant fireball because so many pipelines running through there. What accompanying black swan environmental disaster might result from a geological black swan event? You know, we're all too familiar with the catastrophe at the Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan, initiated primarily by the earthquake and tsunami on March the 11th, 2011. On July 22, 2013, more than 2 years after that incident, it was revealed that the plant was leaking radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean, something long suspected by the local fishermen. One article I found on the web while researching this sermon was titled this, quote, Japan, quake, tsunami and nuclear meltdown equals a global black swan. Interesting. Brethren, I think we can all agree that this world is going to experience numerous catastrophic global black swan events in the future. We must not be a scoffer saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, as we read in 2 Peter 3:4. So let's open our Bibles again and read what it foretells. First of all, turn over to Revelation 6, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. Revelation 6, verses 1 through 8. Remember, John wrote, what shall shortly come to pass? I think he's speaking to us. In Revelation 6, beginning in verse 1, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him as the grave. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, one-fourth of the 7.1 billion maybe, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Yes, the day of the Lord is going to be a global black swan event. And to this spiritually drunk and asleep world, it will come as a thief in the night. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And notice what people will say, the scoffers. For when they say peace and safety, oh, we're going to have a peace treaty. We're going to have peace. Then sudden destruction comes upon them. It's a black swan event. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. No, you can be like the butcher instead of the turkey. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. And this world certainly is spiritually asleep and drunk. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. It's talking spiritually. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, isn't that wonderful? But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we make it through all this alive or whether we die during it, we should live together with him. That's our hope. Therefore, here's something to do. Comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Just as righteous Noah and righteous Lot were not surprised by the black swan events that came upon the wicked, neither should we be surprised. So knowing these things, what should be our response? Certainly we can ignore the warning. Many, even in the church, prefer to bury their head in the sand like an ostrich. They find the news too stressful. Another response is to be fearful and yet do nothing. The Bible tells us to have neither response. Rather, the Bible tells us to be ready. We must put on the whole armor of God, be watchful, and pray always. Also, as we just read, we must comfort each other and edify one another. Build each other up spiritually, not tear each other down in any way. Now, rather than being a downer sermon, I want you to fully comprehend the distressed world we are living in, and that there is hope for those who love God and obey him. So let's turn over to Zephaniah 2 in verse 3. Now, I'll give you a little time. I know Zephaniah isn't one of your more common books to turn to. Zephaniah 2 and verse 3. This is a scripture that recently Dr. Ward has mentioned to us. Zephaniah 2 and verse 3. Here's one of the things we should be doing. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. All your commandments are righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. So there is hope. Now let's turn to Psalm 91, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7. This is a favorite set of verses for my mother-in-law before she died. She had it all memorized. Psalm 91, beginning in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near to you. Brethren, the time of our redemption is drawing near. I don't know what time we have left. I can almost guarantee you some of the people living in this room will see some major black swan events, though. So let's turn and read Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. And here we see some pretty amazing black swan events. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Yes. They don't understand what's going on. They're drunken and asleep. And the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Brethren, one has to truly be willfully blinded not to see that these things are already beginning to happen. Let us all heed these warnings spoken by Jesus Christ in Revelation 16 and verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15 says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief." It's going to be a black swan event. "Blessed is he who watches and," there's an "and" there, "keeps his garments." Yes, you're going to have to live a clean, pure life. "Lest he walk naked and they see his shame." The greatest black swan event in all of history will be the return of Jesus Christ as King of Kings, the resurrection of the saints, and the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. It will come as a shock to many. So my hope is that this sermon will be a wake-up call for all of us, including me. I've learned a lot. It's all too easy for each of us to succumb to the normalcy bias. Finally, turn over to Revelation 22, and we'll read verses 20 through 21. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. "He who testifies to these things says," and this is a quote, "surely I am coming quickly," end of quote. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.